Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Praise God, everybody. Praise God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what type of day that you have had or I have had, we still can rejoice because it's a supernatural rejoicing. For the joy that we have, it is not of this world. God gave us this joy that is unspeakable, and this joy that will leave you speechless. Praise God. I am Apostle Delilah Mae Gamble. We got Prophetess Chantel Coleman. She's going to be coming in a little bit, and we're going to be talking about Stop Quenching the Fire of God, Part 3. Stop Quenching the Fire of God, Part 3. This is a very serious, serious, serious topic on tonight because we got so many people that are operating in a false fivefold ministry and they do not have the Spirit of God involved in that ministry. So we're going to pray on tonight and we're going to ask the Lord to step in, step out, and show out on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God, for what you're going to do among your people. Father God, we thank you that you're going to speak what you want to speak in this hour so that deliverance can come to your people. Father God, we're going to speak according to your will. We're not going to add anything to it. We're not going to take anything from it because that is not your spirit on tonight. For many have robbed your word, and many have robbed from your spirit on tonight. But Father God, we come just as we are on tonight. That you will, Father God, have your way in the midst of your people. We ask, Father God, that you cause us to decrease. You increase. You speak a fresh rhema word to the weary soul, to the brokenhearted, to the weak, to the lost, to the wicked soul, to the unclean soul, to the self-righteous soul. Father God, that your word of God will uproot, upluck everything that is not of your spirit in this hour. We give you, God, the platform of our heart. We give you the stage of our mind. We give you, all of us, not some of us, because if we give you some, then you're still not going to be able to have your way because we all up in the mix. But we give you all of us, that you may speak through our whole mind, body, soul, and spirit, that we will line up correctly with the fire of God to release a fresh word so that the word may be seasoned with salt in this hour. So, Father God, we thank you for all the listeners on tonight. For those that came to listen in and see what God is speaking unto their souls on tonight, the soul that God spoke into existence before the world was even formed. You created Myra. You created Mary. You saw Gina. You created Peter. And you saw Paul. And you spoke into Adam. You just that God, you can do anything but fail. You speak into mysteries and you make the mysteries unknown. That's why there's nobody greater than you. God, you see the depths of our heart, and you still love us the same. I tell you, whoo, you are amazing, God. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we seal this prayer on tonight, that you will move apostolically, even past the marrow of the bones, and you will cause your spirit to just overflow in the people life that are ready to receive the overflow. No overflow, no growing. And we know that on tonight. So we thank you and we praise you. Amen. I would like to elaborate on the 25th chapter of St. Matthew. And then also God gave me St. Matthew's the 5th chapter. And I think it's the 13th verse through the 16th verse. That's St. Matthew's, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse through the 16th verse. And I'm going to elaborate also on the 25th verse about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins also, because this is going to tie, the Holy Spirit is going to tie this into St. Matthew's, the fifth chapter, the 13th verse through the 16th verse. So just bear along with me for a second. I got my word right here in front of me. I want to make sure that when you do things for God, you want to do things according to the Spirit of God. You want to do it in the excellency of God. That is what releases the fire of God, for God to move correctly and directly among the hearts of the people that we move, what? In an excellent spirit, because God is a spirit of excellency. Anything sloppy is not God. I'm going to say it again. Anything that is sloppy and that is out of order, it is not God's character. No can do. Amen. So I'm going to read St. Matthew's, the 25th chapter, and the first verse. And it's in my heart to go back over this to elaborate, because, you know, sometimes when you get a little bit excited, you jump ahead of yourself sometimes. So we want to back it up correctly in the Holy Ghost so that God can point out some things to us that really leaves a bitter taste in his mouth, just as sin stinks in his nostril. Amen. So we want to make sure that God be glorified and the devil stay horrified. Somebody say amen to that. All right, St. Matthew's, the 25th chapter, in the first verse, and it reads, and it says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five was wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. Y'all pay attention to that right there. Pay attention to every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of the Lord as I begin to read. But this part really stood out to me. The fifth verse, it says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. That's the natural body. It was ready to snooze. And the sixth verse, they, at midnight, the cry rung out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. The seventh verse, it said, then all the virgins woke up, trembled at their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. The ninth verse, no, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. 10th verse of St. Matthew's, the 25th chapter. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. Somebody say Jesus did that on purpose. All right, I'm going to keep reading. The virgins who was ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The 11th verse say, later, the others also came. Yeah, the foolish virgins, they came back and they began to say, sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. The 12th verse of St. Matthew's, the 25th chapter. But he replied, I tell you the truth. All right, I'm for to tell you what you need to hear. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch. That's the 13th verse. It said, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour. We don't know the day or the hour. But, you know, as I began to read the word of God, I seen where the Lord was showing me some things that just really vexes the spirit of God. And, you know, sometimes we as people, we can just be so lazy and we could just be so procrastinating to do the things that we think that is so important than the will of God for our life. I want you to know something on tonight, people of God, it is the will of God that opens up the ways of the natural things in your life to bring you the reality of it. Don't get it twisted now. Because it's not the natural things that have established the will of God for our life. It is the will of God that have established the the natural things just as well as the spiritual things for our life. And so in that fifth verse, you know, my spirit just began to leap right there because I saw myself in the fifth verse just as well as from the 25th chapter of St. Matthew's, the first verse on up. Come on. When you in the Word and you allow the Lord to have his way in your life, you don't see nobody else but yourself. And then the Holy Ghost will begin to show you the souls of the people and how they take things lightly. Amen. But God always deal with you first. Y-O-U. All right? He always deal with U-S, us, we, W-E, me, M-E. Amen. He deal with us first. And that fifth verse, it says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. Let's stop right there. Because it goes to show you that God was giving them enough of time and space to get their life together by coming into agreement with the apostolic word of God. They will have to submit themselves unto the Spirit of God and commit their ways unto the Lord. See, God, he always set the order for us and the time and the space for us to what? To repent, to have a change of heart towards him. Yes, the creator, El Shaddai, the almighty God, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the Alpha and Omega. God always gives an individual a chance to turn their whole heart. And when I say their whole heart, I'm talking about spiritually speaking, your whole mind towards God. It's a process, people of God. It's a process. But I want you to know on tonight that your persistency will birth out your victory. Let the Holy Ghost say it again. Your persistency, your perseverance, you're pregnant with perseverance. Hey, go, Robo Shah. And you must understand, when God has put that in our spirit, because perseverance is the reason why your faith is still moving forward. And the virtue is the power of the Holy Ghost that causes you to endure no matter what is going on. It will cause your inner man to be seasoned with salt. And it will perfect that which concerns you and I. That's why it's so important in these last days to turn our whole heart to God. And if you can't turn your heart to God, then the devil got your mind. There's only two, come on now, saints. There's only two ways now. Come on. Either you're going to give God all your heart or you're going to give the devil all your heart. You're either going to say yes to God or you're either going to say no to the devil, or you're going to say yes to the devil or you're going to say no to God. It is a powerful instrument that is called endurance. And endurance is tried through the fiery trials and testing. And the fire of God is involved in this apostolic work. Without the fire of God moving forward in the minds and in the hearts of the people, we will not never ever see another revival in the land. Now, when I say in the land, just as well as the natural land, but also in the spiritual land. But if you wonder in this fifth verse, it says the bridegroom was a long time in coming. Long time in coming. It didn't say how many years. It didn't say how many months. It didn't say how many days. There was no specific days or time put in parentheses in this chapter, because don't nobody know the day nor the hour. Not even Jesus. The Bible said whatever secrets there are, they're for God, they're for God. If God wants you to know a secret, he'll tell you. But if the secret has not been revealed in 15 to 20 years, then that should give you a hint. He don't want you to know, because there are some people that want to know the secrets of God so that they can try to make themselves look like they are King Herod. We must stay in our lane. The sixth verse, and the words say, and at midnight. Somebody say at midnight. I'm not going to tell you to tell your neighbor. I want you to hear it come out your mouth, because it's a witness unto you. At midnight, the cry rung out. It was a loud cry. It was a cry. It was a spiritual cry. It was a holy cry. It was an apostolic cry. It was a shofar cry. It was a trumpet cry. It was a supernatural cry. It said, come out to meet him. And I can imagine all them virgins waking up out of their sleep. You know how we do, we stumbling around and stuff. Trying to make sure they're looking good, trying to make sure that they're looking presentable. But that's the key. You're looking presentable in the natural, but not in the spirit. See, we have to be wise virgins in these end times. That means we have to keep ourselves pure and holy before the Lord. We can't be serving other gods. And see, the foolish virgins, they were serving other gods. They got slack. They wanted the wise virgins all. That's out of order right there. They wanted what the others had. It's what they should have been getting. I have to stand before the Lord. I didn't come to impress nobody by trying to speak words that are hard to pronounce, or trying to speak great swelling words to throw you off. I come to talk in plain English. That is my native language. That is how God created me. So the Holy Ghost do talk and speak on your level. I didn't come to change my voice and sound like the Reverend Dr. Shoefoot, okay? Or Sister Blue Banana. That's not even my profile. But I come to you tonight in the Spirit of God. Yes, for he is the Spirit of truth. God never put on airs and flares. That quenches the Spirit of God. I'm going somewhere, saints. I'm not getting off the subject. I'm just showing y'all the things that really quenches the Spirit of God from moving forward in the lives of the people. When people start pretending and start acting out as an actor behind their pulpit, because it's not none of God's pulpit when you getting all up in the way. So I'm going to go back to the 8th verse. It said, the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. You must be crazy. The bridegroom is out there waiting on us. See, a gentleman, he's waiting on them to come out. He's waiting on to meet them. We all going to meet Jesus. And all this stuff that people have allow the enemy to put these graven images and these false images in their head of how Jesus look and how he gonna sound and all of this other stuff. It's totally different of what the book of Revelation describe him of. That's the real Jesus when John the Revelator was sitting on the island of Patmos. You know, they're quenching the Holy Spirit by conjuring up an image. You conjuring up a demon that's faking to be Jesus. Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus no longer in the manger. Amen. When he was in the manger, he was still shifting the atmosphere in baby years. Come on now. He was still shifting the atmosphere. When he was on the cross, he was shifting the atmosphere. That's why they begin to cry, crucify him, because he was shifting the atmosphere into true repentance. But they want to say crucify him, but they felt Jesus. They felt the anointing, but they couldn't identify. So anytime people can't identify something, they be like, child, you better get rid of that. And okay, it says in the ninth verse, this is what the wise version said to the foolish versions. No. And that's what you need to tell some people in this season. They replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. You got to let them know, no, you ain't going to use me. No, you ain't getting none of my oil, because one thing about this oil that I have is just enough for me. And see, we need to overflow other oil, the oil of deliverance, the oil of healing, the oil of casting out demons, the oil of tapping into your wealth spiritually just as well as naturally. Amen. I want heaven on earth too. But there are some things that a lot of us saints, I'm going to say saints because saints have the Spirit of God, and I'm going to say church folks because church folks are people that are religious. Just go to church, and that's it. And when they see you on fire, they think that you possessed with a demon. That's because they don't know God. You need to tell them no. I always want you to pray over the same situation. And you have to tell them what thus says the Lord. I cannot touch that because God has not released me to do so. We cannot override the Spirit of God at no point. No point in time. We cannot. That would just stop the flow of God. When you start doing it like you want to do it because you say, it's my thing, I can do what I want. And you can't tell me who to sock it to. Well, I'm here to let you know on tonight that you're causing a lot of people blood to be on your hand, and you will be accountable. And this was open rebuke by the wise versions. Wise mean that they are godly versions. They are full of God's wisdom. Wise is not like they know it all, but they got enough of oil in them to understand the principle of flowing in the oil of God. When you tell people no, that's an open rebuke. And the first thing they'll say, oh, I thought you was a man or woman of God. Then you have to rebuke that spirit again. And you have to let them know what thus says the Lord. Because many will try to manipulate you when you're not mature in a place where God is taking you. A lot of times God allows people to manipulate us, yeah, to develop us so that we can know the difference. But you won't get set off my oil, devil. I come to let the devil know on tonight, you won't get set off my oil. And then the 10th verse, It said, but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. It. And somebody say Jesus did it on purpose. While they, foolish virgins, while they went to buy their oil for their lamps, this is what you call bringing shame unto the things of God. You're supposed to already be equipped. You're supposed to already be vigilant, sober, watchful, standing guard, on the wall. Not going to get what you need later, but getting it while the getting is getting good. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who was ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Anytime you shut a door in the natural and you lock it, can't nobody get in there unless you open it. Would it be right for Jesus to open up the door to those foolish virgins after it was a long time before his return? Would it be fair to the other ones that's been travailing in the spirit and prevailing in the spirit and wailing in the spirit and purging in the spirit and crying in the spirit and sowing in the spirit to allow those foolish virgins to come in? Would it be fair to the ones that have labored for righteousness' sake? Would it be fair? And they had plenty enough time to get before God and do what needs to be done. No, it wouldn't be fair to the wise virgins, because it would make them feel like they've been cheated. Out of their relationship with Jesus. Have you ever like felt like you've just been cheated? I know I have felt like that. I've been on this job for 10, 20 years and they used me to do training on the job, to train other people, and I was faithful to this job, and there was a executive position open, and I thought for sure that by me being, you know, next in line, I would get that seniority, and they take it to, and they give it to somebody that's been there only 6 days or 6 months. Oh, I felt somebody pain right there. It makes you feel cheated. And up in the sixth verse of St. Matthew's, the fifth chapter, for the ones that just came on, it said the bridegroom was a long time in coming. In long time in coming. Waiting patiently for these foolish virgins to line up with the other wise virgins. And we are in these times today that there are a lot of foolish virgins that used to be on fire for God, They was wise virgins then, but now they're foolish. They have allowed man to bewitch them and to change their mind from the true and living God, to change sound doctrine and water it down. They have put inside of your spirit preservatives, artificial flavors, and false vitamins because you have allowed them to draw you away from the true and living God. And all these things you have allowed to come between you and God. Oh, ye foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I have been in that place. It's time for transparency, amen? This does not look religious, not like you got it all together. The devil is lying. I have been in that place. Been a long, long time ago when I didn't know who I was in Christ because I was too busy trying to see what the pastor had to say and calling the pastor on the phone and study him rebuking me. He just allowed me to just look up to him and not God. That's how you know you're in the wrong ministry. When they don't correct you, when they don't say, hold up, wait a minute now. You're going to get me in trouble with God. Nobody likes self-glorification to make they self look important. But God allowed me to go around and around and around and around. And where I stopped, only God knew. But one day I went around for the very, very last time. And I noticed I dug a real deep, deep hole in the ground. And God had to move everybody back away from me. Everybody. On purpose. So that I would reposition myself, refocus myself, rededicate myself, recommit myself, resubmit myself unto the power of the true and living God. See, I had a form of godliness, but I was denying the power thereof. It was looking like God, but it wasn't God. It wasn't tasting like God. I didn't have that true relationship with God. There was no development. I was just a shell without a yoke. So when I come back, we're going to go into St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, a little brief, and then we're going to bring in prophetess Chantel Coleman because we know that God got a right now word for her. But it's time for the church to get into the place where God is saying now, today, now. If you hear who voice, his voice, heart, not your heart. That's another big area right there that the enemy has been using. Too many of the people of God have been hardened their heart because they too busy calling everything the devil. And it's God. Unusual stuff happening in your life. Unusual stuff going on in your life. God trying to wake you up and tell you something. You keep going through the same old thing because you ain't listening. It's time to listen, church. It's time to listen.
Laying at your feet, all my broken pieces, every load that carry, I bring to the King. Every step I take. Friends are near, but I feel so alone.
Amen. Bless God. Bless God. You know, as we was on break, people of God, you know, God began to show me that this is also where the spirit of tares, T-A-R-E-S, is birthed, when we're not walking in the place where God wants us to walk, by us not operating fully, by not having our lamps trimmed, by not having the oil of God, by not having that relationship and fellowship. This is where tares are looking like the wheat. But we thank God for the wise virgins that turned around and rebuked them and let them know, no, you can't have none of this Holy Ghost that I got, because you should have been doing what you should have been doing. Matter of fact, you need to go back down there to the stove and get you some oil yourself. And so this is where the spirit of tares is birthed, where they are looking like wheat, but they're really not. They're just weeds looking like wheat. Amen. Real wheat is good for the nourishment of your body. We are spiritual wheat. We are whole grain. We must keep the Holy Ghost burning within our soul. Today I've been burning and turning. What I mean by that, the Holy Spirit been burning within my soul. I can feel the warmness in my belly. Spirit was turning me. That means God was shifting my spirit as he began to burn things that is not of him. I felt it in the pit of my spirit. Amen. That means the deepest pit of my spirit, God was just turning. Amen. I began to weep uncontrollably, because God purges us in different ways. Don't never underestimate the way that God purges you. God can purge you through sweat. You can pass gas. Let me tell you something. I have seen demons come out of people through when they were pass gas. That was spiritual gas. Come on, saints. There are many ways God can purge you. You could begin to form at the mouth. You could begin to shake uncontrollably. You begin to kick. That is those things that are not of God that begin to resist the fire of God. But we know that the fire of God can overpower any demon. So, amen, we got Prophetess Chantel Coleman on the line tonight. And before we click her on, I just want to tie in St. Matthew's, the 5th chapter. And it says in the 13th verse, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thence, therefore, good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And what the Holy Spirit is saying, that we are the salt of the earth. We are the reason. We are the kingdom salt of the earth. Amen. We are the reason that God is still allowing this earth to stand. But what happens when the salt has lost its flavor? That means that something has come between you and God. Amen. Well, this is how people that have been seasoned by God's Spirit, the Bible said that we are seasoned with salt. How do you become seasoned in the Spirit? And the reason why God used salt, because salt is a very popular season. And so we are a very popular kingdom season in this hour. Okay, so whenever a person that is not doing what they're supposed to do, concerning their relationship with God, they begin to lose that fire. They begin to lose that fire. And once you begin to lose that fire, you begin to lose that desire. And so therefore, you're good for nothing now. And it said, but to be cast out. And that's what happened to those five foolish virgins. The number 10 is a whole 10. But they had done divided the kingdom. Look, they had done divided their kingdom rights by their foolish behavior. And it say, to be trodden under the foot of men. Why come God say up under the foot of men? Because we know that God created man first, in that order, in that mandate. I mean, don't nobody want a car that they can't use. You got a car, and the car ain't got no transmission in it. How does that sound? You don't took your income tax money, and you don't went and bought a Lexus or a Camry or a Pinto. But come to find out there's no motor in it. You didn't even test drive the car. You just looking at how pretty it was. So don't let the devil beat you out of your anointing. When I say your anointing, it's because it's a personal relationship. It ain't like you created the anointing and say, here, I have anointed myself. Therefore, I am this and I am that. But you have people that do that are crazy. That means they have some religious demons going on with them. So, people of God, we're going to bring in prophetess Chantel Coleman. And, man, we got 38 minutes left on the show. I know that the woman of God has been waiting patiently. I'm sorry to be long-winded. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit get in you, my goodness, you have to just let it go, let it flow, and let somebody grow. Hallelujah. Come on, prophetess Chantel, let God use you. Praise God. How you doing tonight?
Praise God. I'm doing good tonight. I'm doing good tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. So truly tonight, I'm excited to be on the line. My God is just doing so many awesome things. And, you know, the devil is always on his job when we're going for it. That we're working for the Lord. So we still give God praise today. And so before I start, I just want to pray and so that God can do what he is calling his vessel to do tonight. So, Lord, we come before you now, God, and we just giving you thanks, God. Oh, God, we know that nothing is too hard for you, God. So on tonight, God, we ask, Lord, that we decrease, God, as you increase within us, Lord. Lord, we ask if there's anything that's not like us, God, if there's any will, God, that's coming forth, that's trying to come forth, God, and deviate the plans of that you have set before us, God. We call them down, God, and we right now, God, we let you take over, God. We let you be God. God, we let you have your way tonight. So, Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you use me as you will, God, and that you use your vessels as you will, and, Lord, as you give it to the people, the Lord, the way you would have me give it to them, Lord. So, God, we thank you right now, God. I thank you for the peace, God. I thank you for the deliverance that will take place, God, and I thank you right now, God, for being who you are. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, and it is so. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, God is just, he's doing so many awesome things in the lives of his people. And we just, in a time, we living in perilous times. And it is time, we talked about on the last radio show about quenching the fire of God, just the things that stinks to God, the things that will really make him draw back from us. And
yes,
truly, on tonight, it's just time to really talk about the tools that God has given us to stand against the woes of the enemy. And I'm always reminded, even on today I'm reminded, because it's always one thing after another. That's one thing about when you're in the will of God, there's going to be attacks coming against you all the time. And when those attacks are coming against you, we have to stay rooted and grounded in God's word and know that Satan,
yes,
does not tempt his own, y'all. If you belong,
amen,
to God, you best to know that Satan has you on his roll call. And everything that you try to put forth, he's going to try to stop it. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to discredit you. Oh, honey, he's coming. He's coming, and he's coming hard. And Satan has no power, y'all. He has no power. But see, we have to follow what God has given us to defeat these things. Now, I want to get one thing clear, because a lot of people wonder, okay, I'm saved, but how do I deal with this situation? If I'm faced with a situation, how do I deal with the situation without quenching the fire of God, without upsetting him, without making him lead me there to fight this battle alone? And the key thing is in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26, it says, be angry, but sin not. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to sin. After you get done, remember that God is still a holy God, pretty much summing it up. So God is saying you can be angry. It's okay. But don't
That's
sin.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That means don't cuss nobody out. That means don't go fight nobody. Don't go to saying, I hate you, God. You got me in this situation. Don't curse your God. And so I'm reminded of Job on this day when he was doing everything right for God. You know, and the enemy began to attack him in his finances and hit him in his foot, my God, to keep him from moving. His health started to fail him. Just all these things, everything was happening around him to say, I mean, everything in the natural was happening to, and you know, it's easy when we put in a situation like that to say, God don't like me. Or, where are you, God? And God is saying,
yeah.
It's okay. You're flesh and blood. You're going to feel down. It's going to be sometimes where you even feel like doubting, but God is telling us, even in the midst of that, he's giving us scriptures to go against the plan of the enemy, to remind ourselves. And in Ephesians 6:12, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we fight against these spirits and principalities and wicked things in higher places. So we got to know that when we see these puppets coming at us, we see people trying to take away from what God has given us. When we see people attacking us for just truly telling the truth, we have to know that's not that person. We can't see their faces, my God. We have to speak to that spirit that's inside of that person, that's operating in that person, and know that it has been assigned to detour us. And so I was faced with a situation. We always faced with some kind of situation, and I'm just going to give an example. When God has told you to do something, you better obey God. By all means, obey God.
Right.
I don't care how hard it sounds. You know, it through the Bible, it was many of his servants that God was giving them a rhema word. And when I say rhema word, I mean a right now word for his people. That means you've got to deliver that word right now in this season, because something is about to happen and transpire in this season that the people are going to need is to move to where they need to move. They're going to need these instructions to go forth. And so we have to, when we hear from God, we got to listen and we got to do it when he say do it. So Noah in the Bible, my God, all the sexual immorality was going on, you know, my God, people partying, being drunks and doing some of everything. Noah was given a word from the Lord to tell him that it will rain and it will flood and that, hey, you know, get prepared, get ready. Those folks called him a liar and the truth wasn't in him. That's what they thought. That's what they said.
Yes, they did.
Oh, they deemed him as a false prophet. That's what they do to us when we tell the truth.
Yes, come on.
They deem us as a false prophet. Then you had Jeremiah, who's a kid, really don't understand, but God, my God has given him the grace, has given him the wisdom to go forth and declare the works and the word of the Lord, to go and warn these people. They looking at him like, how can a child judge me? How can a child tear down an altar? You know, how can he know all these things? And, you know, I'm not going to listen to that child. And see, the Bible tells us that the Lord uses the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yes.
So when you see me coming, don't look at my face. When you see me coming, don't look at my age. But you better hear. Don't shoot the messenger, but you better know that when I speak, that I'm speaking fire, and I'm speaking from God, and I'm being influenced by God. And see, when you know that God has put a word in your belly and God has told you to go forth and you say this, and when you say it and you begin to get backlash, know that it's expected. They're going to call you everything but a child of God, but it's only to get you to detour. So that means it looks like the road is hard. It looks like ministry is too much. But God has told us to put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the tactics of the enemies in these last perilous times and wicked days. And even in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, it tells us flies give perfume a bad smell, and a little folly, which is foolishness, outweighs wisdom. And it says honor the hearts of the wise, inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool goes to the left. Even
Jesus.
While walking, he lacks sense, and he shows everyone how stupid he is.
Woo, Jesus.
So that means don't try to prove yourself. My God.
Say so.
And don't try to plead your case. Go ahead, Apostle. I thought you were saying something.
I was saying hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, but God is saying don't feed into it. He's saying don't even give it no space. And he talks about in Ecclesiastes 10:7. Let me turn to it because it is such a powerful message, and I believe that it's going to help us. It's even going to help the ones who are just trying to get their life on the right path and start walking for God. Because, see, we got to know these things. It's going to be people who rise up, and they're going to say, Lord of Lords, and they're going to declare that they're doing the works of the Lord, but they're not being inspired by God. Some of them are trying to build a career, and they're trying to rob the people of God in the process.
Come on now.
And it happens. It happens, you guys. You know, nobody is perfect. And they're saying, and I'm not saying that to excuse nothing that nobody is doing, because if they're doing it, surely God is going to deal with them. But they're saying that to say that don't feel like you're any less of a person because somebody who's been in ministry longer than you have is telling you that what you're saying ain't God. Huh.
Come on now.
That when God give it to you, he trusts you with that thing. And everybody
yes.
ain't going to believe, but it's okay. They laughed at Noah. They said it wasn't going to rain, and they said it wasn't going to flood, but look what happened. And then they all was running and wanting a second chance. It don't work like that.
Amen.
So you know, we have to know that in the book of Thessalonians, I didn't deviate it, Lord, but in the book of Thessalonians, Apostle Paul even warned us, and he was teaching. That man really was teaching. He said,
yes, he was.
In order to follow God's will, we can't be people pleasers. He said, we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the word and the revelation. And I'm summing it up, y'all. Our purpose is to please God, not people. Because God is the one who examines the heart and the motives of people. So that means while you're up there trying to please people, God is looking at the reason why you're trying to please them. Why are we trying to win the heart of man when we're yet turning the heart of God?
Mm-hmm.
And that's deep, y'all, because, see, even as a child, we want to please our mom, we want to please our daddy, we want to make good grades, you know. We want to do all these things. This is our agenda. But then when things begin to happen in our life, and beyond the things that beyond our control, can't beat ourselves up. That's just like if the Lord is speaking to you and he's telling you to leave your family. Go on by your business. And I'm going to make your name great like you told Abraham. We got to go. We can't wait and say, oh, no, God, is that true? You ain't going to tell me to leave my phone. No, no. Thank you, God. My mama's all I got, God. She can handle all my business for me. My daddy, you know, he babysit for me. I mean, we just start coming up with all of these excuses, but see, we have to know that even when we're doing that, we're quenching the fire of God. We're questioning God, and he's told us many times in his word, he's given us tactics to come against the enemy and all these schemes and these lies to try to defeat us. He told us, lean not into our own. So we got to trust God, y'all, because he said that it's our faith that pleases him.
Yes.
So even though it don't look right, it don't sound right. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you are God and you are spirit. And then when you start to see people coming up against you and you start to feel unsure, it's okay to steal away and cut everything off. It's easy to cut people off, silence everything. It just gets to see them. That's what matters. Clarity from God. Not from God. So if we can't deal with people talking about us and walking away from us, then we're not fit for ministry.
Come on.
We can't do the work if we always finding a reason to keep for.
Not to do it. Come on.
So we gotta. I'm telling you, we gotta help you get the plots and the plans of the enemy last day. Don't feel guilty no more, and not another day for disconnecting from somebody that God told you let go.
Say so. Say so.
If he told you to move on, you better go ahead and move on, because you know what? Warning comes before destruction.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm reminded of Jonah tonight. My God. He had a call on his life. He had a word to give to God. But he tried to escape. And everywhere he went, he was breaking in. So he got ready to say yes. So when he got on that ship, it began to go crazy. And they said, hey, come pray, John. Come pray, John. Pray to your God.
Pray to your God.
Yes.
They woke Jonah up like, hey, Jonah, you got to get out of here. You the man with faith. See, they don't know that. They don't know that Jonah was running. Because Jonah was worried about what his enemies would think. And not only worried about what his enemies would think, but he was mad at what these people did to him.
Yes, he was.
But see, we can't get so mad at people, y'all, that we don't deliver the word that God said deliver to them.
You better say that.
Because that thing may set them free.
Yes.
And so I say that tonight with excitement, y'all, because I've grown so much, and I just thank God, because when you striving to please God and need things, God will order your steps.
Yes.
And you may have some questions, and you still may have some times when you just you got to help me.
You got to help me.
Because as long as your heart is on pleasing God, and you saying, God, I don't want to upset you, he will not let you fall prey. So if God tell you to go tell somebody something, I got to release this, be mindful, be aware of those people who always speak good of you. They ain't never telling you. I mean, everything you put out, oh, God, that was good. And you know good and well before you left the house, you knew you didn't look good. I'm just saying.
Come on,
and
now.
You know, not to say that they lying, but hey, if I've seen all 10 problems with it, you don't see one, come wrong. And then, you know, if I'm seeing myself, you seeing yourself doing things that you just know ain't right, and you struggling with that thing, and then that they telling you to come on, go for it, it's okay. No, that ain't what God calling you to do, because surely if you in God's word, just as sure as that person is getting conviction, God is giving you insight on how to deal with your brother or sister. So we can deal with that situation without throwing off on people, y'all. We can deal with that situation without talking about people.
Come on now.
Using our toolkit and our platform as a way to throw stones and to get back on the people.
Come on now.
We can deliver a word in love, because God has already told us it's a battle against flesh and blood.
Come on.
So we'll be able to minister and be effective in it. And so when you deliver that word, who would know how to do it? Because God is judging us on how we do it. If God tell you, give it to him raw, give it to him raw. Don't put no sugar on it.
Say so.
Don't put no sugar on it, y'all. Because, it's been times where God told me to do something, and I'm just sitting there trying to figure out a way to do it. He already told me how to do it, how to give it. I'm sitting there trying to figure out, oh, God, I'm going to make this sound, you know, like it is. God said, how? Better give it just like that.
That's right.
And, you know, when we try to add to it or take away from what God has told us, that sometimes makes enemies. It actually gives the enemy a foothold on what we're trying to do, and that person makes it hard for that person to resist.
That's true.
We have to remind ourselves, y'all, that we have an advocate, Christ Jesus. And the prayers of the righteous avail much. So when you know that God has told you to do something, he goes before you.
Oh my God.
He goes before
you.
He even walks behind you. He's backing you up.
Yes.
He's pointing you and compelling you to give that thing a shot to release what he has to giving him so he can handle his business in the earth realm.
Come on.
See, we are just vessels. And we look at it like, okay, we just people, God, you know, we don't think highly of ourselves. We don't see ourselves as God sees us, but God has already let us know that without us being willing, he can't get no work done down here, y'all.
Amen.
So the harvest is plentiful, my God, but the laborers are few. So on tonight, I'm challenging all of us to give God a real gift. And within giving God a real gift, make up in your mind that you're not here to please people. Pleasing people against what God is actually telling you to do and what God is trying to do. You know, if we say, I hate homosexuality, turn around and go to our friend's wedding and they homosexual, I'm going to use an example. You just said that God hated it. You're saying that you are living for God, but you just went and supported what he hates. That right there will quench the fire of God.
Yes.
And he will hold us accountable, God, because we're supposed to be there in life. When people see us, they're supposed to see God.
Yes.
And so when we go into places like that and we're celebrating things, we're celebrating sin and we're celebrating all these things, not of them, God is not pleased, y'all.
Amen.
He is not pleased.
Whatsoever.
So I don't want to be before you long. So, you know, keep these scriptures in mind. Ecclesiastes 10 and 1.
Okay.
And Thessalonians 2 and 4.
Okay. That's First Thessalonians or Second? Okay.
First Thessalonians, yes. I'm sorry.
2 and 1?
2 and 4.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2 and 4. Okay.
Yeah, so I just want to leave those scriptures with us tonight. And I just encourage you all that when you come to Christ, and when you become a born again Christian, it's no longer about us. And some of these church folk, we can't tell them nothing, y'all. We can't tell them nothing. And
come
but
on,
that's why God,
that on the mountaintop.
God said the church is for the sick. Some of these folks are still trying to justify themselves. They need to go on. See, God is calling us to the law. If you know what
come
God
on.
Means, you to argue with me about. You arrive. You got together. Let me help somebody that ain't got nobody. So I just want to encourage you tonight that you got just much oil as next person. Just got to do what it takes to get it flowing and keep it flowing.
Say that again, prophetess. Prophetess, say that again. Somebody need to hear that.
Tonight, I just want to remind y'all that you got enough oil to get it flowing and keep it flowing. And you just got to keep it right, God. And as long as you keep it right, God, that oil is going to flow and lives is going to be changed. And look to God, not me. I don't care what the title is.
Come on.
If God has called you to speak a rhema word to them, deliver that word with no apology.
Say so.
The fire of God. Don't be scared of those faces. Don't look at faces. They don't even matter. Your obedience is better than that sacrifice.
Come on.
So you risking losing your place in God because you don't want to obey him. And you scared of what man is going to say. So if God is telling you to move, if God is telling you to let somebody go, if God is telling you to do his will, you got somebody holding you back, know tonight that you're in the process and hold it back.
It's putting you in a place.
It's putting you in a place.
A dangerous place.
A dangerous place.
Yes.
So I just want y'all to be encouraged. And I can go on all night about this stuff, but I really love people, God. I truly was one of those lost souls out there looking for the truth. And I mean, I started crying and loving how to read the Bible at a young age. I'm like, Lord, your Bible says, but these people, they're doing different stuff. So what am I supposed to do? And I mean, I was sitting there I'm just like, this book is just a book. It's just like a regular synopsis. I mean, it ain't like a book or, you know, it's not like an instruction manual that we got to follow to enter into heaven. You know, some people don't treat it like that. But God's word is true on tonight. Remind y'all. And when you read God's word, don't just be readers and hearers of the word, but let's be doers of the word.
Amen.
Let's do only what God tells us to do in this season. So God bless y'all. I love y'all. And I believe I'm going to stop where God wants me to stop. And y'all have a blessing.
Amen. We thank God for Prophetess Chantel speaking from the mind of God. Amen. We just don't want to be readers. Real leaders, you know, they are readers, but they also people that study and practice what they preach. Amen. Don't cheat yourself out of your own oil. So many of us, we don't know the danger of that. Amen. And we didn't come to cheat nobody on tonight, but we come to empower you. We come to enrich you. Enrich you. We come to edify you. We come in the name of the Lord on tonight. And we thank God how God used Prophetess Chantel to speak to the hidden parts of the heart, that places where you think that people don't know what you're going through, what you're trying to fit in. Amen. I want you to know that quenches the spirit of God too. You're trying to fit in. But I want you to know that when you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you already in. Amen. Stop cheating yourself out of your oil. Amen.
Come on now. Come on now. Come on
now. I want the people of God to know that I am no better than you. Amen. And I have 2 feet and I have 2 knees that I have to get on to. Amen. I don't mind. And one thing about it is when I get before God, it's never what I want. It's what he wants. And we want to always keep that airway, that gateway, that hallway, that straightway, that narrow way. Come on, open unto the Spirit of God. When you go in prayer, don't get down there with all of that complaining and murmuring. Right then and there, you're cheating yourself out of your oil and you're vexing the Spirit of God because God don't want to hear all that foolishness. Amen. So we're going to bring in my other spiritual daughter, Apostle Zandra. I tell you, this woman of God here, she's full of life also. She come to bring you more life. Amen. She come to sew up the end loose pieces. And she coming in her apostolic chariot on the night. And her horse is already. Amen. And we're going to click on in. We got 11 minutes. But I know that, my goodness, she has a rhema word in her spirit too. Amen. Bless God. How you doing, Apostle Zandra?
Amen. God bless everybody. How's everybody? I'm so excited. I got to hear my sister come forth on the line, Prophetess Chantel. I'm telling you, I done wrote down the scriptures. I was over here trying not to shout. And what was amazing was I was sitting here and I was listening to the broadcast and an attack came and my shoulders got tight. I said, oh, something's going on tonight because the witches and warlocks is mad. But you know what? As I was listening, the Holy Spirit had me go to Acts 5. And I'm looking at and reading Peter and looking at the apostles and looking at these religious folk. And, you know, it's just amazing how people get on their high horse and they don't want to hear when someone has to deliver a word. And the Lord has been dealing with me on this, and it even takes me back to Paul, how frustrated he got. A lot of people, a lot of theologians like to say that the thorn that was in Paul's flesh, maybe he was sick and all that. I said, ooh, if they studied their word, they would know that he had a thorn in his flesh because of the revelation and the knowledge that he had, and he could not boast in it, so he was given a thorn in his flesh so he could stay humble. And so a lot of people, they have all this word, they have all this revelation, they get up on a high horse, they think they're better than everybody else. And Paul said, look here, and in Corinthians, he said, look here, I'm not inferior to these super apostles, and there's no such thing as a chief apostle. But a lot of these apostles and prophets think they done got high, and they think they're above everybody else. And I put a Facebook post, I said, if you're the chief apostle, I guess that means all the other apostles are your Indians or something, your cheerleaders. So the devil is a liar. So one thing we have to do is bind the spirit of pride. And the thing about it is we have to humble ourselves, because when God is sending a word, we need to understand, especially if we know the person. Come on here. And sometimes we may not know the prophet that the Lord is sending. But if you know their spirit and you know their heart, you know they're not coming to, and it don't mean you no harm. But the thing about it, they just like Paul, he was frustrated. He said, I am not affiliated to these super apostles. I don't care how long you've been ministering, baby. Miracle signs and wonders follow me too. Haven't you seen? Haven't you heard? And so I just, you know, the Lord gave me that. I said, oh, my God. And then we get up, and I got up in Acts 5, and I was looking at that. And, you know, the angel came, and he released them out of the prison doors. And he told them, you go into the temple, and you teach, and you preach. And they were like, okay, we're going to go do the thing. And it's just so funny. And they came back, these religious people came back and said, didn't we tell you? Didn't we straight tell you, strictly tell you, and command you not to teach in this name? They said, look at here. Let me tell you something. Peter said, look at here. Let me say something. The other apostle said, let me say something. We ought to obey God.
That's right.
Man. So let me tell you something out there. I don't care what Susie Q and Brother Lunch Meat said. If God has given you a word in your mouth, and he told
come
you
on now.
To release it, baby, just like prophet said, you better turn your head if you have to, but you better deliver that word. Because let me tell you something, I tell everybody, a lot of, some people know a little bit of my story, but I have to deliver a word to my brother, and he feels it, because, you know, he's been preaching long, and he can't receive from me. He doesn't receive me as the apostle I am. I said, Lord, look at him. The Lord had to show me a while back, baby. It's not that they're rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Speak anyhow. But we need to understand the words that are coming out of our mouth don't belong to us. They're the Lord's words. And how dare us quench the spirit trying to be friends people and try to keep friends. Baby, look here. I had a friendship go away, a 20-year friendship. I've had family members walk away, family members not support me, my own brother, my own father. So when God tells you to do something, it is so much better to obey God. Because how dare you quench the spirit, and what's going to happen is you're going to miss your next assignment. You're going to miss going up to your new dimension and your new level because you're trying to
get it
over with. See, the Lord showed me one day. He showed me last week. He said there's so many people that want to continue to be connected because they say, I've known her for 35 years. I've known him for 20 years. And that's my friend. Well, look here. You better get up out of your feelings, baby, because your friend is going to stand in the way of you going into that next open door, that next assignment. You got to get out of your feelings. The Lord is telling some of you it's time to get out of your comfort zone. You done got too comfortable. And he is allowing the brook to dry up in certain areas of your life because he's getting ready to shove you into the deep. You have gotten too comfortable. And it's time for you to come out of your familiar place. It's time for you to come out of your comfort zone and speak what God has for you to speak. I remember Prophet Chantel, we were talking one night. She said, look here, sis. The Lord told me to tell you. He's going to give you a few words to say, and you may not even understand them. They may seem weird to you. They may seem strange. But he told me to tell you, you better speak it anyhow. And let me tell you, I don't look at ages. I have a 13-year-old baby that prophesies to me on Facebook. When it's coming from the Lord, I don't care if they're 2 months old and they're saying, goo, goo, gaga. I'm going to know if it's good or not.
Come on now.
So we better humble ourselves. And when the Lord says the word, he is trying to warn us. He's trying to prepare us. And how dare us quench the spirit? How dare us to deny a word? Because because you think you're better than somebody else. Baby, let me tell you, destruction is coming. Judgment is already here. The Lord had me deliver a word right on my job, and I'll work. For somebody I can't say, but I work for one of the seven houses of influence. I can say that. And the Lord had me walk up in it. He gave me a vision first, and he showed me that I was going to be speaking a word of truth, speaking a word of judgment that was going to uproot some things at my job. And when I woke up out of that, the enemy hit me with an attack, and I began to throw up, and I began to get sick. And he tried to keep me from going into my building on yesterday. But how many know I hopped up in there with my apostolic boldness? I sat at the table, and I eyeballed the director, and I let him know what thus says the Lord, and I didn't move. I didn't quiver. I didn't shake. I eyeballed him dead in the face and told him what the Lord told me to tell him. And I leaned back in my chair and said, there it is.
Yes.
So we got to understand, I don't care where you are, you deliver that word.
Yes.
And watch God take it from there. I hope y'all were blessed. I know I was blessed. And I just came to wrap it on up. But prophetess and apostle did, they brought it in. And we are here in kingdom unity, unity in the community.
Yes.
God is bringing us together. And when we come together like this, God's word comes together. I just see how God's word started with that middle piece and how he put the ending on it. He put the ending on that bread and gave it to y'all. And I hope y'all chew it up. And I hope y'all let it marinate in your stomach. Because God has released some things this evening that the Lord needed to get out for the body of Christ. I hope it brought deliverance to you, and I hope you just rest in it. Amen.
Amen. We bless God for Apostle Zandra speaking what thus says the Lord. And whoever it is, and God tell you to tell them what he is saying, it is because God is going to get their attention one way or another. And, you know, I thank God for the unity that is here on the radio air, because we don't operate in jealousy and envy. We don't operate in a competitive spirit, because we know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you're going to get free on tonight, because, see, we letting God have his way. We ain't trying to get up on the radio and compare ourselves to one another. Those are the things that quench the Spirit of God. Those are the things that stank and stank in the nostril of God. Amen. We're moving in apostolic unity on tonight, because we are decreeing and we are declaring what thus says the Lord.
Yeah.
With no interest on
my
it.
God.
Come on, somebody. So we got 2 minutes left. I praise God for everybody that's on the line tonight. I tell you, this line is full on tonight. My God in Zion. Because God has joined the people. You know, God said he's going to do the join. How does he draw you? He draw you by love.
By love and kindness. Come on now.
That's right. And God is a kind spirit. He is a loving spirit.
Yes.
But he also is the God of judgment. He will judge us in righteousness because it's mandatory and it's needed. It's needed. God don't have special people. God do not have favoritism from the schism. Come on now.
Let me chime in on that, Mom, what you just said. That was very powerful. You said he's a loving God, but he still judges us. And, you know, we got people nowadays, if we're not preaching on houses and cars and money coming, we ain't preaching from God. We a false prophet.
You better say that.
And see,
you better say
that. I avoid people, and I've always been one of those people that you always got something good to say about me. God always had me to just be back.
Yes.
Now, you wonder because Susie Q, she won't say nothing about you, but you expect your Susie Q talking about somebody else. And you know she's talking about somebody else. So she's not talking about you too now.
Yes.
So we got to know that we got to know y'all. God, like she said earlier, when God said release that word, we got to release that word with no apology. Because you don't know what you can say may say that person's life. You may be the only person that has said that person the truth. They may be so high on their horse that they can't come down until the Holy Spirit allows Satan to slap them down.
Amen.
It's a bad place to be, y'all.
Amen. It's a very bad place to be. And I tell you what, we cannot keep taking God for granted. We can't do that.
Woo!
But so many people have been because they say, because I never seen his face, then it's okay. But we got 14 seconds left. And I thank God for everybody being online tonight. And if God is pumping you to sow a seed, you can go to paypal.com, put in my email, Delilah474@yahoo.com. God bless you all. Much love. And keep on keeping on in Jesus and for Jesus.
Praise.